Will you pray with me? Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. You are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. From the Gospel according to John. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciple set out and went towards the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and believed, for as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned round and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? For whom are you looking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." And Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Easter, of course, is not only the central event of the Christian faith. I think in some ways it is also a stopping point, a sticking point. It can be the most difficult event to grapple with in all of the Christian faith. It is always courage that brings people in here on this day. We hear the stories of the resurrection, and they are all beautiful. There are four of them, and they are all just a little different. But for me, the story from John has always been the most beautiful. It is the beauty, it is the intimacy, I think, though, that can stop us in our tracks when it comes to our own faith journey. Because this beautiful story begs the question, what does it mean to have a personal relationship with Jesus, even though he has never stood before us? One of the ways that I think that we cope with this important question is that we turn to our modern sensitivity by turning our faith into mainly an intellectual endeavor. And I'm going to tell you that I am the first person to do this. I have more books about who Jesus is than you can imagine. So I'm probably first in line when it comes to this particular issue. But when I read this story, the encounter between Mary and Jesus in the garden is anything but intellectual. It is as personal an encounter as you will ever hear. It's not abstract or intellectual in any way. It's an encounter that is visceral and emotional and deeply, deeply personal. Our struggle and our questions about a personal faith in Christ can be difficult in these days that we live in. Mary didn't have to deal with science and technology and special effects, all things that make us stop and wonder, and they're all important aspects of our life. Well, maybe not the special effects, but science and technology, we need them. They're important to us. But they do sometimes get in our way, don't they, of being able to grapple with some of these things. With all that goes around every day, with all the stuff that we see, with the way in which we pick up our phones and we look at our TVs, how do we then take a step back and have faith in Christ that is as grounded as that garden scene was for Mary? That's the question we grapple with today. How do we experience that kind of intimacy to hear our own name spoken by Jesus? How do we live with the tenderness of Easter that reassures us that the darkness of Friday has been overcome? Overcome for us. Pro nobis, in Latin, for us. For me, for you. I think another intellectual sticking point for us is exactly that, the for us part. In our journey towards having a personal relationship with Christ, when we hear the words pro nobis, for us, he died for us. He died for our sins. He died to save us. Even after a lifetime of being a Christian, I still find myself answering that important question about what it means by saying, yes, but. Because in our progressive sensitivities, I think sometimes when we want to talk about this personal life of faith, we also want to put some qualifiers around it. We'd rather answer that question with some debate, some good theological debate about what it means. And I understand, because I too know that the language of faith has been misused. And so I want to tell you, when I say yes, what exactly that means. But what if we could find the courage? What if we could do it, to say yes? Just yes. And then grapple with the gift and not dismiss it so easily with explanations and debate. To embrace that Easter message with all the tenderness and strength, because it overcame violence and pain that was stretched out on a cross. If we can embrace all that beauty, all that goodness, then we know that it is alive again, right now, in us. It's not just a memory, and it's not just a metaphor. It's an undying presence in the life of every single one of us here. Pro nobis. I often say to myself as I rise and go through the day and get too busy that I have not recognized Christ in a day. But I'll also remember that Mary didn't recognize him all the time either. She said, if you just tell me where he is, I'll go and take him away. She did not know to whom she was speaking. We go through our lives, busy, busy lives, and we miss lots of opportunities to see the risen Christ in our midst. And I think part of it is because we haven't grappled with what does it really mean. This is a hard day. This is the hardest day in the Christian faith, the best day, but the most difficult day to grapple with. William Sloane Coffin wrote that Christ's resurrection promises our own. pro nobis for us. He says to put love in our hearts, decent thoughts in our heads, and a little more iron up our spines. Now that's a salvation I can get in line for. To put love in our hearts, decent thoughts in our heads, and a little more iron up our spines. Because, you know, Christ is risen to convert us not from life to something more than life, but from something less than life. So the possibility that each one of us will have full life. For it is written, the glory of God is a human being fully alive. Pro nobis, for us it has been done. Pro nobis, for us it has been accomplished. And it is, brothers and sisters, profoundly personal. The invitation in the garden was spoken by a name, Mary. Just Mary. It is personal. It is a gift. Each one of our names is being spoken. It can transform us. And it's not just an intellectual exercise. It's so personal, so transforming, that when you do accept the invitation, your life really will never be the same. It really will never be the same. And like Mary, you're going to want to tell somebody. And the way we tell people is that then we go back and we listen to what Jesus told us to do. To heal, to feed, to clothe, to love, to accept everyone. The question is will you rise each day and recognize the risen Christ in front of you? Can you see God with the eyes of your heart? Can you embrace what has been done for you? Pro nobis. I'm going to suggest in the days ahead that you let down your intellectual guard so that you can hear his voice and that you can allow his grace to travel to the most private places in your life. Pro nobis. This is what helps us move forward. This is what helps us face the uncertainty. This is what's going to help us and guide us and grace us in every moment of our lives. And that is the certainty that Jesus has done something for us. Pro nobis. Amen.